Bajes ki tavo. That's what it says. I don't have to say anything else. I'd like to look first at the beginning of the Torat Emet. Torat Emet is Rabbi Yehuda Lev Eger, who was a he and the Preet Tzaddik were Talmidim of the house of Shisko, and the Torat Emet became the Rebbe first. Even though the Preet Tzaddik was more renowned as a great scholar, the Preet Tzaddik accepted the Torat Emet. The Torat Emet was also Rav Akiva Eger's grandson. Is that right? Rav Akiva Eger? Rav Akiva Eger was the ultimate Litvak.
Yeah,
exactly. What? This is punishment. Oh. He had a grandson who was a Rebbe. Yeah. So there's, today, you never know. Even if you look into it, you don't know. So he was a Rebbe. He wrote a book on Parashat Shavua called Ki Tavo. And he says this, if you look at the section here at the bottom, Vaya Ki Tavo Haaretz. He says, he's talking about our Parashat Shavua, which begins with those words, Ki Tavo El Haaretz, Vaya Ki Tavo Haaretz. So he says, Hine, Beit Sidrot Batorah Matchilim B'Teivat V'Haya, that the word V'Haya introduces two parashiyot. Really, it's the beginning of two psukim. In both cases, the pasuk referred to is the first pasuk in the parasha. So he says, V'Haya Ekev Tishma'un, the parasha of Ekev, and our parasha, V'Kan, V'Haya Ki Tavo. So he says that that's noteworthy. Of course, he says it's noteworthy. He means Chazal thought it was noteworthy. Chazal were very concerned about little words that didn't seem to mean anything. So if you had to translate Vaya Ki Tavo El Haaretz, if it came to pass, if it was, if it happened, right? You can't sort of get a perfectly ordained kind of translation. But it's any one of the above. V'haya. But it's a word that you could leave out. You could leave out of the pasuk and you get the same thing. Ki tavo el haaretz. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, v'haya is as though there's some doubt about it. There is no doubt about it. There is no doubt. You're going to come to Eretz Yisrael. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling B'nai Yisrael for the last several parashiyot, right? You're going to come, and it's an agreement that we'll get together, and it'll be all right, that if you do good, it'll be good. Right? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling B'nai Yisrael in these parashiyot. And so the Torat Emet says, and this is the important point here, V'yadua ki ikar, V'yadua ma'amaram zal, it's in the third line, V'yadua ma'amaram zal, in other words, everybody knows, V'yadua, everybody knows. I don't know if that includes us. V'yadua ma'amaram zal, and this ma'amar is found in the Medrash called Breshit Rabbah, which is quoted by many other Mefarshim. You see here the Or Chaim, for example. The Or Chaim quotes it. He says, Breshit Rabbah Mem Bet Gimel, for example. Everybody quotes this Chazal, and the Chazal says, "Ein v'haya ela simcha." The word v'haya implies simcha. So that really, how do they read the pasuk? If that's true, it's not exactly correct. It's not exactly a quote from Bereshit Rabbah, but we won't go into it. Let's assume that the Torat Emet, that Rav Leib Eger has it right. I don't want to argue about whether the quote is perfectly represented or not. It's more or less, it is more or less correct. So he says, what does that mean? Ein v'haya ela simcha. There are only two parashiyot that start with the word v'haya, the parasha of Ki Tavo and the parasha of Ekev. So what is ein v'haya? So that means it's a kind of a separate sentence. V'haya, if it is, what is, whatever is supposed to be. If whatever is supposed to be actually happens, then what will that imply? What will that imply? Simcha. And when it comes to the parasha of Ekev, it says that. I'm sorry, in the parasha of Ki Tavo, so this is like, I have to excuse the fact that I'm missing the first sukkim of the parasha. So I'll just tell you the sukkim. Rabbi Yaki Tabola Aretz, what follows in our parasha, the mitzvah of Bikurim. The mitzvah of Bikurim. The mitzvah of Bikurim is like, just like Kayin and Hevel. Remember Kayin and Hevel? They knew, Kayin and Hevel, they somehow knew that the reasonable thing that a person does, Ba'olam Hazeh, since we live in a world which could be analyzed scientifically, we could say that things work according to a plan. Nevertheless, at the same time, we realize that our success in the world is facultative. It's not necessary. There could be a famine, there could be a drought, there could be a year of poor crops. And therefore, when we are successful, Cain and Hevel said, it makes sense to them that they would give part of their success back to God as a sign of appreciation. It was knowing that they alone could not have produced the desired result. Okay? So that we call that later on, we call that a korban. But the interesting thing is, in this parasha, the Torah says that the same thing is true about fruit. It said these about fruit. When you collect the fruit, you go out into the field, you see the first, the bikurim. Bikurim is like the word bechor, the firstborn. And the first fruits that come on the tree, we have to put a little kind of clip on them, a sign. And you take them, you collect them afterwards and take them to Yerushalayim. And you bring them to the Kohen, right? And the Kohen heaves them, and you eat them in Yerushalayim. There are all sorts of other details. But the interesting thing about this particular korban, I call it a korban, but you know, I don't mean an animal korban. And I don't mean a korban of, which is a meal offering. I mean a korban of fruits. Fruits you bring to the Beit HaMikdash. There's a kind of a formula that we say, and that you all know, because it's in the Haggadah of Pesach, which I'm saying is a little strange, because if it's in the Parashat HaShavua, you should know it from then, but I know that most people don't pay attention in Parashat HaShavua. But in the Haggadah, everybody pays attention because you want to eat. Right? So that you keep turning the pages to see how much is left. So when you get to that part, you should know that it comes from Bikurim. It's Arami Oved Avi Vayered Mitzrayim, and that's called a Vidui. The word Vidui means is confession. But it doesn't mean a confession of a sin. It means the confession about the way I see the world. And how do I see the world? According to Arami Oved Avi, I realize that there was a beginning of things, which is not obvious. It's not obvious. Most people who are successful, we're talking about people who are successful, they're being fruit, they had a successful year with the crops. Most people who are successful are happy to take the credit, you know, to say what they did, you know, how it worked. But the Torah says that you're successful, you have to remember that it all started someplace. Right? The beginning. And when was the beginning? When was that beginning of the beginning? It was the time of the Avot. Right? The time of the Avot. Arami Oved Avi is a reference to Yaakov Avinu. Right? The Arami, Lavan, want to destroy Am Yisrael by destroying Yaakov. That would have done it. And we know that was the beginning of salvation. And what is salvation? That word that's, you know, so kind of heavy, like a heavy word, salvation. But what is salvation according to the way we see things? Eretz Yisrael, being in Eretz Yisrael, and growing things in Eretz Yisrael, and having fruit of Eretz Yisrael. I mean, that's called salvation, because that emphasizes the point of it. The point of it is to kind of make the world, to make the world within the directives of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the point. So here we are, bringing the fruit to Yerushalayim, and we are saying Arami Oved Avi. We're making this vidui. We're making confession about who we are. We're not just talking about the success that we had during the last year, but we're talking about our ultimate understanding of things, that there was a point, that we're here because of that point, that we are continuing to do what it was that we were supposed to do. And then at the end of that parasha, right, in our parasha, if you look at the sheet on Pasuk Yud Aleph, you see the sheet, Pasuk Yud Aleph? V'samachta b'chol ha'tov asher natan lecha Hashem elokeinu le'beitcha ata v'alevi v'agei asher b'kirbecha. So it says it in b'feirush in the Pasuk. It says you never said that about a korban. If you bring the korban, it doesn't say v'samachta. Or if you give tzedakah, it doesn't say v'samachta. It's only about bikurim that the Torah says v'samachta b'chol ha'tov. What's the tov? The tov is what you're bringing in this basket to Yerushalayim. And Asher Natan Lecha Hashem Elokecha Uleveitcha. Uleveitcha. You, of course, representing your household. Right? After all, everybody's eating fruit. You're bringing it to Yerushalayim. Everybody else sitting home eating the same fruit. Ata, you, v'halevi, right? V'hager Asher B'sharecha. Ger, whatever ger means. I mean, ger is a person who is close to being Jewish. May not be halachically Jewish, but he's accepted a certain standard that the Torah creates. So now, v'samachta b'kol ha'tov. You see Rashi? See the Rashi, pasuk yudal v'samachta b'kol ha'tov? Mikan amru, Em korim mikra bikurim ela bizman simcha miatzeret v'adachag. So the halacha is that if you bring bikurim to the Beit HaMikdash, miatzeret adachag, atzeret is Shavuot, and the chag is Sukkot, during that part of the year, right? Ela bizman simcha. That's a time of simcha. Because after all, that's a time when people are collecting the crops and bringing it in, and they're very happy about the success that they've had during the year. Sha'adam elakeit fu'ato uperotav v'yeino v'shamno, because he collects a person, like these agricultural people, they collect the wheat and the fruit and the wine and the oil. Avo me'achag v'elach. So Rashi's telling us a halacha, but Rashi also leaves us with a question. In order to have this vidui, in order to be able to say, I'm doing it because of Arami Oved Avi, because I know where we all started from, and I know about Jewish history, and I know that I'm part of that history, why do you have to bring it at the time of Simcha? Why can't we just say that the mitzvah generates the simcha? It's as though we're saying the simcha is generated by the time, by the period of time between Atzeret, between Shavuot and Sukkot. It's like I'm in a happy time, so I'm happy. But why do I have to be in a happy time? Why isn't it good enough for me to say, Arami Oved Avi, I know who I am, I know where I'm from, and that's why I'm happy. And that would be the more obvious understanding of the Samachta B'chol HaTov. Asher Natan Lecha Hashem Elokecha. One more thing, at the end of the Pasuk says, Hager Asher B'kirbecha, which sounds like it means to include the Ger Asher B'kirbecha, to include. Right? I think that would be the obvious pshat. But Rashi disagrees. Rashi says, Mevi ve'eino karei. Mevi ve'eino karei. He brings, he veger, brings the peirot, but he does not say the vidui. Does not say the vidui. Why? Ma? Yes, that's what Rashi says. One second. Here. That's how we start the story. We start the story by saying it's about Avi. It's about my father. So Ager can't really say Avi. He can't really say Avi. So Rashi is kind of like assumes a question and gives an answer, which means that this idea of saying Arami Oved Avi is very personal. It's like only the only people who could say it are the people who are in the Jewish, in the fold of the Jews, and no one else. Okay. At the end of the parasha, and look at the parasha in Perek Zayin, it starts off with the words, V'haya Ekev Tishma'un, and the Torah Temet taught us that Ekev Haya means Simcha, and we saw that Simcha is an aspect of Bikurim, right? Bikurim brings to Simcha, or Simcha is that or the halacha is that you bring the Bikurim at the time of Simcha. V'ya'ekev tishmu'un et ha-mishpatim ha'elu u'shmartam v'asitem otam v'shamar Hashem elokecha lecha at ha-brit v'at ha-chesed asher nishba la'avotecha. I mean, you know that this is in Hebrew we say et ha-brit v'at ha-chesed. It seems to be disconnected. Brit is a covenant, and chesed is chesed. A good translation of the word chesed into English is chesed. I think somebody once wrote a book about chesed in which he was going to figure out how to translate the word, and at the end he called his book chesed. Because there's it's a difficult word to translate. Most words are difficult to translate. But sometimes you kind of assume that you know. But, you know, like that's only if you make everything into a newspaper. But if it's not a newspaper, it's difficult. V'haivcha u'berachecha v'hirbecha, God will love you, he will bless you, he will make you increase u'berach pri bitnecha pri admatecha digadcha v'tirashcha v'yisayrashcha lafecha v'ashterot zonecha. All this is like all these good things are going to happen. You're going to be economically well off. That's what, if you keep the Torah. If you keep the Torah, right? Pasuk Yudalit. Baruch Tehye Mikol Ha'amim. Baruch Tehye Mikol Ha'amim. But blessed. Baruch Tehye. Right? That's how a bracha starts. Baruch Ata Hashem. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it doesn't mean. It does not mean blessed art thou, O God. So now that we've wiped that off the table, what do you think it means? Baruch? But we say it a few times a day, now and then. You know, it's like regular currency. You know, you don't have to think about it too much. It just comes out.
You who are the source of all blessings?
Yeah, it's good. I like that. And then who said that? Who wrote the famous book on the topic? Rav Chaim Volozhiner in Nefesh HaChaim. Chaim Volozhiner in Nefesh HaChaim, the first part of it is about the blessing. It's about what it is, about how you're supposed to think about God when you say a bracha. I mean, that's a reasonable kind of thing, right? It's reasonable to think about God when you say something about God. I mean, I'm not that I know exactly what you're supposed to think. I don't mean that. I just mean that you should try not to get it entirely wrong. So, thank you. Baruch atah Hashem. So, Baruch tiyeh mikol ha'amim. Baruch means so that the blessing will be showered down upon you. Lo yeh b'cha akar v'akara u'bivhem techa. Okay? Akar she'eino molid. Like akar, something, an animal that does not produce offspring is not really part of creation. Like the sometimes you have like genetic aberrations. So that's really what they are. They're not supposed to be that way. Even if there's some statistical reference that says X percent of sheep are don't give birth, it doesn't matter. It's seen as being something unlikely, unnecessary. I could go into that further, but I don't want to. So now let's go back to the Torah Temet. Now that we've seen a little bit about what's going on in these psukim, I'm going to read it again. Right? I read it again. Vayaki tavol ha'aretz, hinei beit sidrot b'Torah matchilim b'tevat v'haya. There are two parshiyot that start with the word v'haya. V'haya ekev tishma'un. V'kan vayaki tavol. Ekev, right? The parsha we read several weeks ago. And then the parsha that we're going to read this Shabbat, which is Ki Tavo. V'yadua mamaram zal ein v'haya ela simcha. Ein v'haya ela simcha. So it sounds like, if ein v'haya ela simcha, that what is it that causes the simcha? What is it that causes the simcha? The mitzvah causes the simcha. That's what you would think. That it's the mitzvah that causes the simcha. Now, there are two mitzvot. The first mitzvah in the parasha of Ekev is about the entirety of the Torah. It's about the entirety of the Torah. And as far as the entirety of the Torah is concerned, the parasha ends with the word v'samachta. And Rashi says that v'samachta is generated externally. Because you're talking about the entirety of the Torah. It's very hard for us to kind of have an ideological position about the entirety of the Torah. However, when it comes to the second parashat, or to the parashat of Ki Tavo, the parashat of Ki Tavo is about Bikurim. And the word Vahaya says that when we give Bikurim, we're going to have Simcha. And what then is the Simcha? What is the Simcha of Bikurim? And the word V'samachta does not appear. So what is the, later on in the Tochacha, it does appear, that word. But it doesn't appear here. So what is the Simcha that is being referred to when we talk about the Bikurim? So he says, V'yadua ki'ikar b'chinat Simcha hu be'et bo davar lidei gmar tachlit Hashleimut. He says, this you find all over in Chassidut. You know, the Chassidim were always accused of overdoing Simcha. Right? They were accused by the Litvaks, who were always in mourning about something. I was never quite sure what they were in mourning about, but they were. They were. And you have even jokes. There have been jokes they told about it, you know. You know, like in Megillat Esther, you know that joke? In Megillat Esther, the few psukim you read with the nigun of Eicha. Eicha is minor, and a minor key is sad, right? And Megillat Esther is generally happy. But there are a couple of sad psukim in Megillat Eicha. So some chassid asked the Litvak, he says, how come you only read four psukim? Like Eicha, why don't you read the whole Megillah? Like Eicha, so the Litvak said, how much joy can we put up with? So it's also true, you know, in Avelut, morning, if we go to shul in the morning and a Litvak has yahrzeit, you say, well, what are you going to do? He says, I'm going to sit here and be unhappy and not eat. Chassid has a yahrzeit. He brings in wine and soda and cake, and they all have a good time. So what's the difference between the Chassidim and the Litvaks? The Litvaks are nervous about where the departed, the Shama, happens to be. And the Chassidim are optimistic about it. They said they should, that, you know, all is well in heaven, you know. So you have two philosophies represented by Jews. So he says, Ikar bechinat simcha ube'et bo hadavar lidei gmar tachlit ha-shleimut. So you know, he says, this is the essence of simcha. The essence of simcha is that you see yourself part of a process, and that process has been achieved, that something has been done as it should be done. That's what simcha is all about. And since you know, we are not always able to see that. You know, I'm going to the wedding of somebody, I don't know the chatan, I don't know the kala, I don't know the parents of the chatan, I know the parents of the kala, but I'm on their computerized list. So I said, okay, somebody told me it's a mitzvah to go to weddings, so I go to weddings. I go to the wedding and I say, look, I've got to get a little simcha out of this wedding. Where's the whiskey? So we know that we can generate simcha to a certain extent in a non-impressive manner or a less impressive manner with food and drink. I mean, that's why you have food and drink at a wedding. You see, people go to a wedding, what do they have to eat? Well, they should be filled with simcha. I mean, simcha is something that can overtake you. I mean, it doesn't give you a lot of time to do other things like eating and drinking. But we know that sometimes we are in a place where we have to generate the simcha in a kind of mechanical way. We have to mechanically make ourselves happy. But not bikurim. Not bikurim. Bikurim, you say, arami oved avi. The whole point of bikurim is I know that what's happening to me now took place, is taking place because of where I started. So look at the words of the Torah Temet. He says, Ba'et ba'adavar, bo'adavar, lidei gmar tachlit ha-shleimut. When you realize that something is perfected, that something is finished, that something has been done, that it is not just, it's not just a good thing, but it's, you know, it's not just that I have these first fruits. It's not just that I am a well-to-do agriculturist. It's not that. It's that I have achieved my purpose. God set out to create Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, living according to Torah Yisrael, and here we are. We're actually doing it. We're actually being that way. But you have to be able to say Arami Oved Avi. You have to be able to say right now, as good as it is, I remember the humble beginnings and I remember the way we were charged to achieve. And here we have. We have achieved it. Ubazeyeshtomar. Right, continuing his idea, which comes mostly from Bikurim. Ki beit elu, ele, romzim lebeit hamatanot tovot, me'ashlosha matanot tovot shenitnu liYisrael. And this reminds us of two of the three great presents that were given to Am Yisrael, Shehem Torah, Ve'eretz Yisrael. I mean, the third present was Olam Haba, the Gemara says, but Torah and Eretz Yisrael. So, I mean, so that generates a wondrous feeling, right? Every time you remember Arami Oved Avi, and you bring the Bikurim, when you do that, you remember that you've inherited Eretz Yisrael. I mean, that's why, that's how, that's the way you inherit Eretz Yisrael. V'ayah ekev tishmun et ha-mishpatim, just one sentence. Ha'ele v'gomer romeiz al-inyan Torah, kishenishlam ha'adam b'shleimut. So he sees it as being a two-pronged kind of way of achieving simcha. That the Torah, that learning Torah, that's the parash of Ekev. Ekev tishmud et ha-mishpatim ha-eile, romeiz al-inyan Torah, ki nishlam ha-adam b'shleimut. So nishlam ha-adam b'shleimut, when you get to whatever perfection, there is this idea that we have in us, each of us, not to be a perfect person, but to perfect ourselves, that it's not the same. Not the same. Not everybody turns out the same way. Not everybody is the Chofetz Chaim, right? Maybe some people are, but most people aren't. But within ourselves, each one of us, if we have that kind of foresight about ourselves, we can aim for a kind of perfection, betterness. We can be better. And so he calls that Nishlam HaAdam Nishleimut, that a person can achieve perfection, Shleimut. A person can achieve that kind of perfection. And that's also simcha, even though he doesn't say the word. But that's what he means. That's what he means. It's also simcha kemashmaut vayayekev tishmuun et hamishpatim ha'elev gomer. And that's what the pasuk means. That's what the pasuk means in Bigger Akev, that if you learn the Torah, if you become a at one, you kind of connect yourself to the Torah, then Vaya ekev tishmud et mishpatim ha'elev gomer v'alze ne'emar v'haya l'shon simcha. So in the parasha of Akev, it says v'haya. V'haya means simcha, and simcha is because you are as you should be, right? And so you are as what you should be, right? And that's v'haya. U'bekan v'haya ki tavo, in our parasha, where it says v'haya ki tavo, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, u'ki l'kdushat Eretz Yisrael, ki tavo, v'haya. Coming to Eretz Yisrael will generate joy. Why does it generate joy? L'kdushat Eretz Yisrael, because you recognize Kedushat Eretz Yisrael. And how do you recognize Kedushat Eretz Yisrael? Kishero'eh shenishlam ha'inyan. When you get to the end of it. And what is the end of it? Hu mitzvat bikurim. Right, he gets to the point where he has to bring Bikurim to the Beit HaMikdash. Be'etchiro eshe nigmar ha'pri, when he sees that the pri is ripe and can be brought to the Beit HaMikdash. V'ne'emar alav v'samachta b'kol ha'tov. And that's what it says at the end of the parasha of Ki Tavo, v'samachta b'kol ha'tov. Also v'samachta b'kol ha'tov. It is what it says in our parasha. B'samach lebechol atov, right? Ki hagam she bechol inyan hashpaat tova le'adam yesh liten shevach v'hodaya lishmo yitbarach. He says, whenever there is this overflow of goodness to man, that calls for praise and thankfulness for God. Im kol zot, lo nimtza shum shayachut mitzvat bikurim beperot chutz la'aretz. And even though you might think that this is kind of a natural reaction, you live in chutz la'aretz, and you made a little money, and you have a credit card, and everybody's happy. So how come you don't bring bikurim? How come you don't? So the answer, of course, is Rak Daika, the Perot Eretz Yisrael. This only works with the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. Shekol Gidulam Hu Bikdusha. What does that mean? Shekol Gidulam Hu Bikdusha. All the halachot connected to growing things which exist only in Eretz Yisrael, right? Mitzvot HaKluyot Ba'aretz are only in Eretz Yisrael. So that produces the fact that you think that the fruit is the result of what should be and has been the way we started. It reflects the way we started out Arami Ovedavi with Samachta B'chol HaTov. That's only in Eretz Yisrael, because only in Eretz Yisrael is the Kedusha in the fruits. Kedusha meaning I did it according to the will of the Torah. That's what the Kedusha is at this moment. Rak daika beperot Eretz Yisrael, shekol gidulam hu bikedusha. Whatever they grow, whatever you have, all of that is Kedusha. Va'az k'sho'esh edishlam ha'inyan. When he sees that it's finished, be'et bikur ha'pri, when you have the fruit on the tree. So you say, I've got it. It's finished. It's done. Mizeh nolad ha-simcha. So you can't have that kind of simcha in chutz laretz. Oh yeah, you could have the mechanical kind of simcha. You could feed yourself. You could drink yourself into a stupor. You could jump up and down and do all kinds of crazy things. That, yes. And if you call that simcha, so you've got it every place in the world. But according to the Torah Temet, simcha has to do with the recognition that you've done the job, that you've connected yourself in the present to who you were in the past, at the beginning. And this is, as you know, a very Jewish idea, because the question of whether history means anything was a question that people asked. And many people, most people would say, most history lecturers, I'm just making up the word most, I haven't got a clue. I'm just saying that. Most teachers of history would say you really can't see in history a reflection of the present. You can't assume that history repeats itself. But the Jews always said, and that's why people didn't write history, right? They wrote something else. But it took a while until history got going, right? Until Herodotus thought that if he wrote down the number of pairs of shoes that the Persian soldiers left behind, that he was doing something good. It took a while. I mean, not everybody could wrap their heads around that idea. But he did, and that was the supposedly, or could be said to be, the beginning of history. So the Jews always had a sense of history, that we come from someplace. We're doing this as a result of something. And that was our claim to fame. So when we daven every day, we start Shemot Esrei by saying, oh, hey Abraham, hey Yitzchak, hey Yaakov. Now what could that possibly mean? What could that possibly mean? Is it informative? It was the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzchak, or like God. I think that what it means is we turn to God. We turn to God accepting a kind of our fate. We have a singular purpose, and that purpose was determined the time of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. After all, Avraham was promised that we would be a great nation, and Avraham also promised that we would inherit the land. Was promised. Now, Avraham Avinu, according to the Gemara in Ta'anit, Avraham Avinu was satisfied that he would become, his children would become a great nation. But he was not satisfied that he would inherit the land, that his children would inherit the land. And so Avraham Avinu said, what happens? What happens if? What happens if they don't deserve it? What happens if they can't? The punishment will be that they'll be exiled. They'll be sent out of the country. So how could God promise that Eretz Yisrael will belong to Am Yisrael, if it is true that the punishment that Bnei Yisrael will receive is going to be exile? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, but it's true that there will be an exile. Like there'll be more than one exile. I mean, the Egyptian exile, the Babylonian exile, or the Assyrian exile, the Babylonian exile, and the Roman exile. There were four major exiles that we know about. We could include the Persian exile in there someplace. So we're going to have exiles. God said to Avraham Avinu, if the Jews just remember the Beit HaMikdash, if they just remember the Korbanot that they are not giving, then Eretz Yisrael will continue to belong to them. Now this is an interesting idea, which Rashi quotes in the Chumash. Rashi quotes it in the Chumash. It comes from the Gemara in Ta'anit, that somehow remembering who you really are and remembering where you're going, like we're coming to Rosh Hashanah, right? Rosh Hashanah, the tkiyot are associated with malchiyot, zichronot, and shofarot. And so what is zichronot? What are zichronot? What is it that we remember? Well, what we remember is who we are. We remember who we are, but that's what we come to the heavenly court with. We don't come to the heavenly court and say, I deserve it, I didn't do it, I'm not responsible for it. None of that is real. I come to the heavenly court by saying, I still remember who I am and why I am in this world. That's what I do. That's how I come to the heavenly court. So that's what that's Zichronot, the 10 psukim of Zichronot that I say before the Tkiyot. This year, Tkiyot on 2 days, right? Thursday and Friday. And so the Simcha comes from the understanding that remembering who you are, where you come from, and where you are going, that all of that implies simcha, because it's a winning argument. It was the winning argument presented by HaKadosh Baruch Hu on behalf of Am Yisrael. He told Avraham Avinu, okay, your children will be punished and they will be exiled, but don't worry, as long as they remember who they are, as long as they remember who they are, they will be saved. That's what the Gemara says in the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to Avraham Avinu. So when we daven, we say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. That's how we start. We start by saying, I know who I am, and therefore I know where I am supposedly going. I know where it is I have to get to. And that's what the Bikurim are. That's what the Bikurim are. Okay. It's a little early today, but I don't want to belabor it anymore. Have a good Shabbos.